You're listening to a Countout Podcast. It is what's up. It is the most wonderful time of year. Raise your glasses. I didn't show you this, Curse. I got myself a nice Cab Sav. It's actually not nice. Ooh. It's very cheap. But I'm here to toast Christmas in the most wonderful time of year. The most beautiful season of the year is Wrestle Kingdom season, baby.
Wrestle Kingdom season. I actually, as a matter of fact, have a nice apple and cinnamon decaf tea.
Oh, that's festive as well. Ooh, yeah, look at us.
Festive, very festive.
Look at it in your pug mug.
Look at us.
That's cute.
In my pug mug, yeah.
Who thought we'd be here? Not me. Look at us.
Not me. Look at us.
Look at
us right now.
We're still doing this thing. We're still doing it.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Speaking of, I just spent like 60 pounds worth of fucking candy, sending candy out to America and all my friends around the world, and getting back delicious snacks from all over the every corner of the globe, except for Australia, because evidently it costs an arm and a goddamn leg.
I wouldn't make you do it to me. I have friends who always offer to send me things, and I'm like, brother, you don't even know. Like, it's impossible. Yeah. There's so much cool merch and shit I'd love to get. It's actually cheaper for me to just fly to Japan and go get it myself than to like
order
stuff.
That's what I'm saying. It'll be cheaper for us to like just meet up and exchange shit when we see each other in Japan.
Yeah, exactly. In 2026, we'll figure that out. The Wrestle Kingdom lineup for 2026 needs to be hot fire and motivate us to go at the same time.
Wrestle Kingdom 2026, even if the card isn't like, even if we're not looking at it and salivating, which, you know, sometimes we do, it's hit and miss. Mm-hmm. But even those years when we're looking at it and we're going, those usually end up being the ones that we fucking rave about the next day.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're not projecting on it or anything like that, you know?
Yeah, you're just ready to sit back and let it wash over you. Just like you at home should sit back and let the dulcet tones of Curtis and Rafe wash over you as we talk about Wrestle Kingdom 2025.
We're essentially like, Wrestle Kingdom 19. We're essentially ASMR, but for wrestling fans, where you just get to hear the silky smooth tones lubricated by red wine and apple and cinnamon.
Apple and cinnamon decaf.
Absolutely. This is
and
good.
And my pug keeps licking his own balls.
Great. Anyway, mood destroyed. Let's just get into the card, man. We don't have all day, neither does everybody else. So let's break it down and really dig into this thing. Because I think there is, you do, I guess, because you work nights. So exactly. You technically need to go to sleep. But anyway, this bitch opens. We're going back in time, and appropriate that Kushida should be in this match. We're going back in time to the way Wrestle Kingdom used to be done, and that is opening with the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match, and it's a four-way this year. We've got the champions, the Intergalactic Jet Setters, Kushida and Kevin Knight, versus the Bullet Club War Dogs, Clark Connors and Driller Maloney, Catch 2-2, which is TJP and Francesco Akira, and then, of course, the Ichiban Sweet Boys, Robbie Eagles and Jose Fujita, not to mention the Super Junior Tag Team winners, the Ichiban Sweet Boys. For the titles in the Dome, this is going to open this up hot, I would say.
There's no way that you can start this Wrestle Kingdom like with those eight folk and not have just everyone like bounding out of their seat. Like, you're going to be hearing gasps and shouts, and it's going to be 2018 all over again, because Wrestle Kingdom is going to start fucking hot. This is going to be so much fun. Mm-hmm. Who are you even pulling for in this?
I mean, I like everybody, but it's got to be the Chibon Sweet Boys, right? It's got to be our man Robbie Eagles. It's got to be the, you know, the team that we share a name with, and it's got to be the winners of the tournament. Like, I feel like the writing's on the wall. They did the work. They won the tournament. I feel like it's right that they would follow through and be the eventual victors at the end. But you can't write off any of these teams because the story kind of works. I think there'll be a title change, and I feel like the Jet Setters were holding it, so there could be. They're kind of like the interim champs, it kind of feels like. And I feel like their story is maybe in between them yet to be told. You know what I mean? Like an inter tag team story needs to happen. But the War Dogs, you know, their story is they were the champs. They've recently lost it. They in a bit of an upset, so they feel like the rightful champs. Catch 2-2 have had a long-term story of battles with the War Dogs and everybody, and kind of feel like the long-term uncrowned champions. And then the Ichiban Sweet Boys feel like the new hotness. So it could really go either way, and I don't know which way it's going to go.
Yeah, it's funny to think about. Like, we talked a little bit about this match on the most recent episode of We Work Stiff for Stiffmas.
Yeah, it won't be out yet for anyone. I imagine this will be out before Stiffmas comes out, before the fucking 12-hour odyssey that
is. Oh, yeah, that's right, because it's going to be an entire, like, party unto itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is one of the ones that we're most amped for, just with how it's going to start hot and things like that, but... Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know. I think because the play is Kevin Knight and the War Dogs, there's interplay there. Mm-hmm. And so that has me wondering if maybe the War Dogs, and then, like, dude, fucking Drilla, like, is so over right now.
Yeah.
Just so over right now with him absolutely demolishing a young lion with the Drilla Killer and things like that recently. Like, I don't know.
A killer.
I think that maybe they could pop the belts over back over to the War Dogs, and then have like the Sweet Boys challenge the War Dogs.
Yeah. I mean, War Dogs have been getting a lot of attention. Both of them, like Clark Connors, was teaming with Thecla at the crossover, which was a big deal. And they were doing and they were doing like a lot on social media, like together and things like that. You were seeing them everywhere, and they were like doing company work. So, you know, it's not a small thing for them to be a team on that crossover, the historic crossover show, because they, you know, they only can put through so many teams. So, yeah, I think it could absolutely be the War Dogs, and it would not feel wrong. I would love to see it be the Ichiban Sweet Boys, but again, like United Empire's Catch 2-2, they're kind of telling the story. I think they would probably be – I think Bullet Club and – Sweet Boys would be my two picks and that I'd be happiest with, but it wouldn't surprise me if it went either of the other ways.
Yeah. Do you think we can get TJP to come out with the guitar again, maybe do a little couple licks?
Nah, there's no way he plays.
He can do that. He's going to do the solo from Eruption by Van Halen. He's going to start and tap that out, you know?
I don't know. I hope he tames down that look or figures something out and isn't what he was that day when we were teasing him.
Yeah, that was something else.
It was a lot. But no, it was a lot of look.
You know what? The best part is, like, TJP would just be like, oh, okay, and then fucking move on. Like,
yeah, he doesn't give a shit what two fucking idiots
on the fucking internet think.
Nah, he'd be like, I'm actually
If he did, cool. He wouldn't have a Twitter right now.
Yeah, he's like, but you guys are podcasters. what do you got to say? Yeah.
So official picks, you're going with the Sweet Boys. I'm going with the War Dogs. Mm-hmm. And if either one really would be fantastic. And you know what? Even Kevin Knight and Kushida retaining, I think, like, we haven't even entertained that option yet. And I still think that one would be pretty cool. But we all kind of want to see Kevin Knight grow up a little bit. And I think we all think getting rid of Kushida would be the way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So. I think so too. I think that'd be really cool. So, yeah, we'll have to see how that plays out. I mean, could it play out in this match? Could we see, you know, there's been a Kevin Knight sort of War Dog sort of line you know, interactions for a while now, and he is obviously the last of the LA Dojo boys that didn't become a war dog. Is there a chance we could see a turn here? I mean, it would be him losing a title to become part of a faction, which doesn't really make sense, but hey, you never know.
I mean, I'm sure they would find a way to do it logically. Mm-hmm. And that has to be why they have so many people in this match, is mm-hmm. like, you can keep Kevin Knight and Kushida strong by not having them actually lose. Maybe they have like TJP takes the fall, mm-hmm. And the War Dogs are like, hey man, you know, if you want gold, you can bring gold mm-hmm. to the War Dogs.
Absolutely.
Or bring bodies.
You
bring
hate Kushida's this dude body. Anyway. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. So you could definitely see it. Definitely see it. We're all part of a team, that kind of vibe. Next up then.
How hype are you for this match?
Oh,
sweet or sour?
Oh, I'm as sweet as it gets for this one. I think it's going to be great.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I was going to go and potentially play in a tournament on the day of Wrestle Kingdom, but I hadn't done the maths and hadn't realized it was the 4th. And then the moment I realized, I was like, I'm not doing that now because I want to sit and watch this shit live. So, yeah, I can't wait for it. Can't wait for it. Next up, IWGP Women's Championship. Apparently this still exists, which is nice. It is Mayu Iwatani.
Iwatani.
Yep. Versus Azumi. AZM, yeah, is what she's known as.
Azumi,
or AZM is how it's stylized. I am looking forward to this. I know that Azumi is an absolute weapon, and Mayu Iwatani
is a fucking ace.
She's like the Tanahashi of Joshi wrestling. So, this is... I hope they get time. I think they deserve it. I think they should actually make it a bit of a showcase. And we only give this belt ship just because they do nothing with it. I would love to see it be a real thing. It's in Japan now. It's not like traipsing the world with, you know, Sasha Banks. I don't know her real name.
It's not on the set of a fucking Star Wars TV show or something.
Yeah, exactly right. So that's what I would like to see. I would like to see them get time and then maybe even set up the next angle for it and make it a real thing. That'd be nice.
That would be nice. I don't really know anything. I haven't watched Stardom in years. I really should get back into it, but man, once Hana Kimura passed away, I was just like, kind of lost interest, and it sucks.
She was like a shine, and she obviously didn't even realize herself, but she really was a shining light for Joshi wrestling and really stood out and drew a lot of eyes. And then with her passing, it kind of put a bit of a cloud over it. And I think a lot of people sort of shut down on it a bit because it was a bit too painful.
Really, really it was. And then like you had for a while, you had Julia as that ace in the company. And Julia is great, but Julia is no longer in Stardom. Yeah. So that's a thing.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I mean, right now between Mayu Iwatani and Azumi and Tekla and, you know, all these great wrestlers, you could really find something to latch on to.
Yeah.
You could really find something to latch on to. And I don't know why I just haven't. Maybe it's because there's only so many hours in the day. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to go ahead and just fucking bite the bullet and get my Stardom app, you know, back or whatever, my Stardom streaming service back. I mean, it's pretty cheap as far as the streaming service goes. The matches are very entertaining. Mm-hmm. Hey, if we wanted to get into, back into Stardom, do you think that maybe there's somewhere on the Countout Podcasting Network that we could go to hear about what's going on in Stardom?
I've heard rumors.
About Stardom Road on the Countout Podcasting Network.
Get us back all caught up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So worth considering. Who are you picking here? What would you like to see?
Oh man, I want Azumi to win, but I don't want Mayu to lose. I think Mayu Iwatani having the belt is good for that belt. It establishes a genuine ace as the champion. But Azumi is the fucking...
She's like the new hot up and comer, right? She's like the upstart. And she's really young too. Like she's
very young. I think she's like 21.
Yeah.
She's so fucking good, dude. Mm. She's got it.
Could they just like roll an angle? Could they do like the young upstart beats the ace. Oh, this is amazing. This is actually going to happen. And then like a Thekla attacks. And then because I feel like somebody like Thekla is the kind of person you could have the belt on and gain like a lot of attention because of it.
Oh, abso-fucking-lutely.
That's what they hoped for with Julia, but then obviously just timing and getting signed and things like that, it couldn't happen, so.
Yeah. Thekla is definitely, she's going to be something fucking huge.
Yeah.
She's going to be very, very huge, and she's committed to stardom right now. So, let's do it. I mean, Thekla versus Azumi, let's go.
That'd be hot. And then they can get more and more wrestlers under people's eyes. You know what I mean? That's the way to do it.
Yep.
So, Absolutely. All right, next up, New Japan World Television Championship three-way match, the champion Ren Narita versus Jeff Cobb versus...
The Grip. The Grip,
Ryohei Oiwa. That's right. So, House of Torches, Ren Narita, United Empire's Jeff Cobb, TMDK's The Grip. What are we thinking here? We just want to see The Grip win, man. Right? That's all we want to see.
I want to see The Grip win so badly.
I want to see The Grip win and everyone else lose. That's what I want to see always.
Man, I love the idea of Ren Narita sneaking out with one.
I mean, he fucking probably will, to be fair. But it is Wrestle Kingdom. They love to change belts. They love to do stuff. Could be a bit of a crowning moment for somebody like The Grip. I feel like The Grip has quite a bit of attention, and I feel like New Japan's going to want to do a lot with him. So I'd like him to grip the title and hold it tightly.
Grip it firmly away from Ren Narita.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to see. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if maybe they could put it back on Jeff Cobb and then have The Grip and Jeff Cobb be the fucking story going forward. Mm. But
yeah, Jeff pins Narita, but Oiwa still has a claim because he was like right there or whatever. And
yeah,
just didn't
yeah,
get
something
into
like
it.
That. That'd be really fun because those two probably. I mean, I think Jeff Cobb is definitely like a kingmaker in New Japan. Like his matches with, there's so many matches he could look to with Zack Sabre Jr. There's matches you could look to with Okada when he was still around. There's matches you could look at with David Finlay. There's matches like. Jeff Cobb is what a toolbox of, yep. He's got there. Like he could do it for anybody because his style works best with someone he can really throw around. Mm-hmm. But when you watch him with all these different guys, like he can work so well with everybody that when you have him in that upper echelon, He could launch someone like The Grip into the fucking stratosphere, man.
Into the gripposphere.
Into the gripposphere. The gripposphere.
If anything, the gripposphere is where you're getting launched if you fuck with The Grip. You know, brother, I must send you to gripposphere.
He'll fluff out the mullet like this.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll
the little
shake
gripper maniacs. The gripaholics.
And then everyone in that place, everyone in the Tokyo Dome, instantly... Instantly floods their basement. Yeah. Every single person.
You thought the pop for Okada's shorts returning was huge. Wait till The Grip sends someone to the gripposphere and wins his first title in the Dome.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We can't even think to bet against it right now.
No. All we can do is pray for The Grip. So let's. I obviously am picking The Grip, and you are obviously picking The Grip. Despite what you said, I won't actually accept another option.
Me.
Yeah, exactly. Won't accept another option. Next up, Lumberjack match. Hiroshi Tanahashi's final road. If Evil wins, Tanahashi will retire immediately. Now, I think this match is going to play with the heartstrings. I've actually enjoyed the build-up. Evil's hilarious, and he's saying shit like, you'll retire when I fucking tell you I'm the real president of the company and all this shit like that. He's talking all that shit. They could fuck around with this. I do think Tanahashi's going to win, though, because, like, wasn't he going to do some teaming up with Kenny and things like that, or is that off the cards now? Is Tanahashi injured? Hey. Is he out the door? What's happening here?
Hey, it could be anything. I mean, they've been building this story for months.
Yeah.
They could definitely
for like
make
the
it
whole
so
year.
That, like, everyone, you know, Tanahashi's like, oh, I'm going to retire in 2026. You'll see me retire. Mm-hmm. And they love those long drawn out retirement tours and
it's
stuff like
that. I'm going to be seeing everybody. And it's like, I would have loved to have done it, but Evil ended it.
Evil fucked me up. That's what, you know, like maybe we get like a crazy like Bullet Club / House of Torture.
Oh, like, this is going to be everybody and his dog involved. If a House of Torture member isn't on the card, or like anybody in Hontai isn't on the card, they're involved in this match. Like this is running city.
Yeah, this is going to be an absolute shit show. But I'm thinking maybe they have like a crazy run, and Ren gets the belt. Continues as reigning champion. Mm-hmm. Maybe we have the War Dogs win the belt. Maybe like we just have a crazy like evil, and pardon the pun, evil Wrestle Kingdom where like the bad guys win everything. Mm. Wouldn't that be fucking wild?
I mean, there's every chance that could happen. So, but yeah, I mean, what better way to for a character named Evil to fucking make an impact than to fucking retire Tanahashi?
Put Tanahashi's career in the dirt.
Yeah.
And say, oh, you fucking thought. Yeah. Too bad. I'm Evil. Resident Evil.
So yeah, I don't know. It could go that way. I mean, we know Tanahashi's time is winding down. So do they just keep playing with our heartstrings like that may happen sooner rather than later, or will he prevail a bunch of times on his way out? But either way, I'm actually looking forward to it, and I didn't think I necessarily would be pumped for it, but I think it's going to be fun.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So who are you picking then? Are you able to put a...
I'm calling the bad guy sweep so far. Mm. I'm thinking everything's evil. Coming up evil.
Everything is evil. All right, you're calling it evil. Well, I can't bet against my girlfriend Hiroshi Tanahashi, so I'm gonna Tanahashi.
No, he would dump you if you did.
Yeah, exactly. And we immediately stopped asking each other after the first match, but we've been sweet on everything so far. There's no sour here.
No sour in Wrestle Kingdom, baby.
Which is funny because when they first started to build this, we were kind of like, what the fuck's going on over here? You know, but in the end, I think they've done well and they've put pieces into place that it's all feeling very solid.
They definitely pulled a rabbit out of a hat, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They really did. Okay, next up, NEVER Openweight Championship. If Takeshita remains the AEW International Champion by January 4th, this will also be a title-for-title match. So it could potentially be NEVER versus International, and it is Shingo Takagi versus Konosuke Takeshita. Now, again, we've banged on about this so much on WeWork Stiff, but nobody will have heard that yet, so we can give all our thoughts all over again.
Is this the belt that what used to be like the Atlantic Championship?
Yeah.
They renamed it?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this... you know, is just a random belt in AEW, or is it like...
kind of. It's kind of like the IC title, I guess.
But then what's the TNT belt?
It's also like the IC title. Don't even get me started. They're kind of the same. I don't even know who's got the fucking TNT belt now. I feel like this one's more prestigious than the TNT belt.
It was Jack Perry. It's Jack Perry, right?
Oh, yeah, actually. And then he fucking... yeah, and then Gussie has got it now. Jack Perry recast that
Garcia's
belt
and
splattered fucking blood on it. It was looking badass. Actually, that is good. I would say, I don't know, I guess the International is kind of like the NEVER then. It's all the same shit. It's all like a mid-card belt. So same for same. I think, and we discussed this.
They have so many fucking belts.
Yeah.
Like I just think, because Okada's got a belt.
We've done a whole episode about that. I thought, doesn't he have this
we
belt?
We did recently.
Doesn't he have this belt? I don't fucking know what belt anybody has over there. It's been a while since I've watched it.
If so, I roll my eyes any harder, I'll be looking at my brain.
I feel like Okada also has this belt. I feel like everybody that doesn't have the world belt in AEW has the International belt. So they're all the same and there's no identity. So Takeshita, though, speaking of identity... Let's break it down real quick. We want him in New Japan so bad, and I think New Japan wants him in New Japan so bad. And I feel like he kind of wants to be in New Japan so bad. And there's rumors and talkings. There's rumors and talk that he's not really interested in re-signing with AEW, and then that could be a possibility. So in that they're grooming him, essentially, and they loved his work in G1, everybody did.
Now
they want to show him a good time, what it's like being at the top on Wrestle Kingdom. They put him in the ring with arguably one of, if not the best wrestler on the roster for a title, potentially a title for title situation. And let's face it, this is going to be an absolute showcase. There's probably not stars qualified to rate what this will be. I think I don't think I can really state how excited I am for it. And I just think it's going to be an absolute fucking banger. And they're but I do think Takeshita is probably the one, right? Probably the winner.
There's no way he can't be, you know, like.
Shingo just takes the international.
It's fucking Shingo, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, Tony's not going to let us have one of his belts. Mm. He's got to put all 20 of his belts on TV every week, right? I'm sure he does.
Well, he needs 21, Curtis.
He needs 21 belts. Yeah. He needs one of ours, and then Takeshita can take it to AEW, and Tony can snort coke off of it or something. I don't fucking know. I'm sorry. We probably shouldn't talk like that.
We're doing positive.
Positive. Good vibes only.
Yeah.
It's definitely Takeshita walking out with both belts. Mm-hmm. It's going to be quite a moment. No one is qualified to throw enough stars at this fucking match. It's going to be on the level of those, you know, 6-star matches, those mm-hmm. 7-star matches. This is going to break a scale. And I think we're going to have to come up with a new scale. We're going to have to come up with something that's not just sweet or sour, buddy. We're going to have to come up with something that's like, I don't know, extra sugary or something.
Extra,
you know,
sugary.
Like extra sugary, like fucking sugary cereal sugary.
Uh-huh. Well,
it's going to, I mean, it's going to be so sweet. So sweet. Our teeth are going to be rotten out of our heads.
Okay. Willy Wonka spec.
Willy Wonka style everlasting gobstopper motherfucker.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'm very excited. I think we're both picking Takeshita here, but you know what I love about New Japan? They'll be like, we really want you to be a part of this company. You're not winning. Shingo's the fucking man, but imagine if you worked here, you would be winning.
Yeah, so you totally would have. That's like why Ibushi never held the title until he signed that fucking
exactly
contract.
So maybe there's a fucking, maybe Takagi can get away with it. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Takeshita will win it, but I enjoy that it definitely feels that way.
Yeah. It's not knowing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You hate watching a wrestling show and going, I know exactly where this is going. Mm. We want surprises. We want shock. We want a sense of wonderment at the idea of something absolutely knocking us out of our seat. Mm-hmm.
And that's what the new era of New Japan is giving us. And I don't think we realized it at the time, you know, when Okada and Ospreay left, but it's kind of sort of turned into a blessing in disguise, because the movements and the booking patterns and everything like that changed so much. You always had that true north in it's like, this will happen, this will be doing, and then Okada will be champion. But now it's kind of like, it could be anybody at any time. And so I don't for sure know which way that's going to go. And that's as good a segue as any to talk about the next title, because, again, don't know which way it's going to go, because everything has changed. IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, and it is Doki versus El Desperado. The return of El Desperado for the belt that he lost to Doki. But since Despy left, Doki's been busy, man, and he's beaten everybody. And they've really found a way to establish a whole new champion in him and made him feel really, really legitimate. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Despy's just walking back in and taking his belt.
It's so fucking wild, because like, Doki's already beaten Despy for the title, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But then Despy shows up again and he's like, all right, let's go. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, oh shit, Despy's back. And it's like, yeah, but Ducky's already beaten him. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
You got to remember, it was during Despy's big week where he fucking, you know, fucking won the, like, did a cage match or something, won the Super Juniors, fucking, then fucking defend against Ducky. He did so many, and then did the Despy death match, Dino kissing stuff. Like, he did everything in this, like, so many crazy matches in the space of 2 weeks. And it's like, did Doki just catch him at the end of that? You know what I mean? He caught him and he just signed up for too much. And that's the feeling. Now Despy's coming in fresh and had surgery and feeling the advantage and freshly starring on Kamen Rider and doing all these things. So maybe he was
on Kamen Rider?
Yeah, he was one of 12 villains that kind of all look the same. He was like, I'm number 7 or whatever it was. And they all kind of look like his mask a little bit. They're like this skull. I'll find a picture of it and send it to you. But he, when he was doing his surgery and stuff, he also was on that show.
Fucking love Kamen Rider. I'm a big tokusatsu nerd. And shout out to my girl Booze. Like, we were, before we got asked to start this podcast, Booze and I were actually going to start a tokusatsu podcast together.
Yeah, I remember you saying, absolutely.
Yeah. That is just like all the things I love swirl. It's like get your chocolate out of my peanut butter. Anyway, it is definitely like the unstoppable force versus the immovable object, you know? Like,
he was D, sorry, of all the different ones.
D.
I think it was. Oh, yeah. Wow. A, B, C, E. Oh, no, maybe not. Fucking. No, I don't fucking know. Either way, I'll send these pictures to you. Sorry, I've completely. I think he was F. Anyway, so yeah.
This run that Doki's on, like, just everyone's feeling it. And like I was saying on We Work Stiff, like, I want Despy to win, but I don't want Doki to lose. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And I want Doki to win, but I don't want Despy to lose. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, I'm going to be crying my fucking eyes out. I know I am. Both of these guys can sell like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. They're going to be absolute madmen. And there's going to be so many callbacks to older matches that they've had together, moments that they've shared in the past. And man, it's going to be fucking emotional.
It's going to be interesting, isn't emotional. It? Like, I mean, if you guys want to hear us really dive deep into this, make sure you check out the WeWork Stiffmas episode, because we spoke in depth about this match with Dave and Josh. So it's hard to feel a little bit like we're not repeating ourselves, you know, even though we haven't. But there's a really deep long-term friendship that goes back with Doki and El Desperado. In that Doki wasn't accepted in New Japan, and he'd gone and lived in the slums of Mexico and kind of, you know, worked his way up wrestling there. And when things weren't going well for El Desperado and he went to go on an excursion, he essentially just called Doki and he sort of sorted everything for him. So even though, like, Desperado's kind of like the older brother, Doki had taken care of him in Mexico and they had done a lot of stuff together. So there's this really tight thing. And then when when Jun Kasai at the Taka Tai Chi Mania, Despy Mania, broke Despy's jaw, they needed somebody to replace him in Suzuki-gun, and he called in Doki, which is when Doki debuted, and everybody on the internet was kind of treating him like he was a little bit of a meme, right? And then over time, he's really built up respect and stuff like that. And then when it was time for him to go and get surgery and stuff, it's pretty clear he rallied quite hard to drop the title to Doki. And then they've been right behind him ever since. So even though it kind of can feel a little bit like Despy's the big star, he's going to come back and get the belt that he lost, don't put it past him to be like, no, we're crowning my boy. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
I could see this ending with both masks off, on their knees in the middle of the ring, fucking crying, and him just telling him it's the fucking best and him losing, you know, like,
hugging each other, covered in blood.
Yeah.
And like,
it could be a full death match, exchanging elbows at the same time. Fucking, and especially after, I think the placement is great when you go from Takagi and Takeshita into Doki and Desperado, they're the right match to, I don't want to say top it, but to do something different and do something emotional and completely change the pace. So I think, like, if I was circling any match on this card, it's this one.
It's gonna be the right tone for everybody. You're gonna have something for everyone. You're gonna have high spots with the
probably kissing tag team, probably fighting, probably bleeding. Like, there's gonna be all sorts happening.
Well, you're gonna have high spots with the junior tag, right? And then you're gonna have.
I'm just talking about Despy and Doki. That's all.
Well, I'm talking about the show so far.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure. It's everything. I was just like,
this amazing
all of
Joshi
that
wrestling, yeah. Like between two aces. You're gonna have, you know, the comedy moments and stuff like that with, you know, President Tanahashi versus mm-hmm. Evil. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have the Banger Factory. You're gonna have the absolute off the chart masterpiece of Takagi versus Takeshita. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have this emotional release between Desperado and Doki, which at the same time might be an actual for the sickos death match right in the middle of fucking Wrestle Kingdom.
I might just fucking do it. And you could definitely see it. And you could also definitely see somebody getting injured because they're
what
both
was
psychos.
The story was it at Wrestle Kingdom like 2 years ago when Shibata made his return and he was like supposed to have like a little exhibition with Ren Narita and he was just like, nah, fuck it, we're having an actual match.
Oh,
and, everyone
it,
got really pissed at him.
Well, he I absolutely got hate. I think that's why he's not in the company now.
It's a thing. I can see where, like, Despy, like, and Doki, like, pull a Shibata and go into fucking business for themselves. And they're like, we accidentally snuck a couple of sheets of glass underneath the ring.
This fucking light tube and, log cabins. Just like the least subtle shit of all time. They're like, how did we not see it? Like,
it's plywood covered in fucking barbed wire and what is it, gusset boards or whatever?
Yeah, gusset plates. Yeah, you see El Desperado comes in, he's wearing like some kind of jacket and then from the sleeve produces an entire light tube.
He pulls it out like a fucking samurai sword, like shung. That'd be fucking sick, dude.
Doki's like, got his metal bar, but it's actually like a spray-painted light tube.
It's a spray-painted light tube. They go under the ring and they pull out a thing of plyboard and like on the plyboard is just Jun Kasai like waiting. He's been waiting under the ring for like 4 hours.
He's stapled onto the board. Either way, it's got to be wild. It's got to be absolutely wild. Next one. Now this, I got to say, of all these matches, maybe, I don't know why I'm not hyped about this. I think it's maybe to do with the build and the way things have gone. And I think, again, it comes back to me just wanting Goto to take this belt so bad and then he didn't. And then it was like, well, trot out here, Yoda Tsuji. Like the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship, David Finlay versus Yoda Tsuji. I know. I was so hot on Tsuji when he debuted, and now I've definitely cooled off on him. And then just the way this was sort of built, like Finlay calling his own shots. I know they're building to Yuya is the point, and Yuya is injured. But I don't know. I feel like they've done Tsuji a little bit dirty here. I don't think this feels exciting for me, and I don't think he feels like he's going to win it.
I think that's probably a little bit they've trained you to think that he won't win it because he of all the new guys, the Raiwa Musketeers and all those, like he's the one who keeps going for titles, for big titles and losing.
Yeah, sure.
And so it feels like he's going for another big title. Mm-hmm. You know, he lost against Sonata in his debut match. He lost against Naito. Here he goes again.
Yeah.
You know, same old Tsuji.
But then he did win the New Japan Cup, though. So
he did.
But even that kind of felt like maybe that was Finlay's to win, but then Finlay got injured, right? And then Goto comes in and then the run of Goto happens. I think I'm just still heartbroken and I still feel like they should have called the audible and Goto should be in this position. In my eyes, I feel like Goto should have won this title and this should be a rematch between Goto and Finlay for the same belt. That would be my preference.
It definitely could be, but we can't judge it on what we wish it was. We have to judge it on what it is.
I definitely can judge it by what I wish it was. Nobody can stop me. Nobody can stop me.
I know.
Because they've made me feel those emotions. They made me feel those feelings. That was them.
I've just got this problem where like people will like watch a piece of media, a bit of content, mm-hmm. and they'll say like, well, I could have done that better because I would do this.
I can't do it.
And better. Like, we're so bad about it as a wrestling community, as you and I specifically are bad about it.
We
you
are know, bad we, about it. And they we, do always deliver
entire,
in the end.
We booked an entire Wrestle Kingdom for no reason.
Still think that would have actually been a great Wrestle Kingdom. But I think they, like I said, I feel like they made me feel that way, or at least Godo made me feel that way. And I still feel like they haven't really paid it off. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it feels like it was just cut off when it was the most organic and exciting feeling I had had in like a tournament in forever, because being like a fucking Mikey fan that thinks they know what's going on about everything, you know what I mean? You're kind of like, oh, right off this guy, blah, blah, blah. But then the groundswell that was Godo, like after stepping up in New Japan Cup, delivering that banger, and then just coming into fucking G1 like he did, and like it felt like the fucking hero story, you know what I mean? And then for it to just sort of end and not really get anywhere, like, and then just shuffled back into a team and stuff like that, it hurts a bit. But that's me projecting, I guess. But I do think there's a certain part of the booker's responsibility to kind of pay attention to that and go, he's really fucking onto something. And they did do more with him, I'm sure, than they ever intended. But I don't know. I feel like there was maybe a way to sort of have your cake and eat it too a little bit with that run, you know?
So Yoda Tsuji or David Finlay, we're calling Godo. We think Godo's going to win.
I'm just saying he should be in the match. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Like, yeah. I know he even just had it. But even then, what if this is the last fantasy booking, but what if instead, or like when, yeah, anyway, I won't do it. I was just, you know, Yoshihashi kind of gets beat and Godo sort of up next, but I kind of would have, you know, Tsuji jumps the line on him kind of thing. I beat you in the New Japan Cup. I'm fucking due. Me and this motherfucker have had business. I'm first. Then he loses and then Godo's like, I told you young motherfuckers, it me. It'll only be me and I'm the fucking wall. Or instead of even doing that Finlay Godo match, you actually have Tsuji and Godo wrestle again in that exact same spot in the Korakuen Hall kind of thing. Nah, motherfucker, I'm the wall. You got to go through me. And then Godo wins. And then you have this match as Godo Finlay. That's just my fantasy booking. I'm now the biggest Godo fan in the world, where once I didn't care about him. But, like, yeah, that's where I'm at.
I love it. And I would not be.
See, this is also it comes so much back, hype. That whole thing, like, I'm the wall of fact. That's, again, our fantasy booking, because this is the shit we were saying in G1 because he was on my team and I'm feeling extra. See, this is what WeWork Stiff has done to me. I won that thing. I feel like he's like one of my guys, and so I'm extra fucking protective of him. Anyway, looking at the current thing.
He is one of your guys.
He is one of my guys. So I'm picking Finlay. I think the story is leading to Yuya, and I think it keeps helping Finlay. And I feel like the run he's been on is really shutting up all the haters and really turning him into the guy he is yet. And I don't think they should stop that just now. But I could understand what you're saying, where you're like, look, they keep putting him in these positions. He keeps dropping the ball. Maybe at Wrestle Kingdom he gets it done.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and it seems like the logical story is building to Yuya, as it should, but they wouldn't keep doing this to Tsuji, who is over as fuck. People love Tsuji.
They do love him.
And they're not going to turn him into a geek.
Like, no.
They've got a legit fucking world champion on their hands.
Plus, they could have him win it and Finlay could win it back, right? Like, absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Like, if they wanted to do that, or they, and this is a thought that I hadn't thought, they could even go, you know what? Finlay's time with the white belt's over. It's Tsuji's time. He's taken it. But now Finlay's freed up and now he's opposite Zach. You know, like, let's take Bullet Club into the
or Shooter.
Or Shooter. Or
Ricochet.
or Claudio Castagnoli. And then that's the whole thing, because you could still, who knows how far away Yuya is, and there's always the opportunity to go, you know what? Finlay ends up with the world title, and then you inject Yuya into the world title mix. Looks great on a poster, has everything we need. Hot shot it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm in.
I'm in.
Let's go.
There you go.
We've already had a couple of shots with Yuya, or with Tsuji going for the title. We might as well have a couple with Yuya heading for the title.
Absolutely. Couldn't hurt. Special match. The World Tag League finalists explode Tetsuya Naito and Hiromu Tanahashi. And they don't really explode. They're still very good friends. They were hugging after they won. But they wanted to finally have the match they were supposed to have, but was ruined by COVID. And in a first-time-only match, it's Senpai and Kohai, Tetsuya Naito versus Hiromu Takahashi. How are you feeling about this? I had kind of gone, oh, and Josh made fun of me. He was like, yeah, heaven forbid we ruin the integrity of Tag League, because I was like, what the fuck? The whole Tag League tournament was just to like further a singles rivalry, and he was like, heaven forbid. And I was like, fair enough, they never do anything with it. And also Hanare got injured as well. But you'll notice that there is not a world tag defense on this lineup. I wonder if Hanare hadn't got injured, there would still be. Or maybe they just would have been left off the card. But either way, they've used it as a mechanism to get them in the ring, have some clout, and start talking. So how are you feeling about Naito and Hiromu?
It does feel like it's late. It does feel like it's already 4 or 5 years too late.
2000 and late.
2000 and late. Mm-hmm. It does feel a bit like, I mean, does this feel like the beginning of the end for Naito? He's going to check a couple of boxes and call it a day.
Yeah, it does. But it's felt like that for a fucking years. You know what I mean? So
do you hear he's having that eye surgery for the fourth time?
I thought you could only have it three times.
I think that he's doing it a fourth time and like just fucking praying.
I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know anything about it. For all we know, the eye surgery isn't even a real thing, and it's just a made up thing that he just says to like, you know, create the underdog thing.
Could definitely be. Could definitely be. Yeah, you never know with Naito. He could be making the entire thing up. Pardon my yawn. I just got off of a 10-hour shift. It was only a 9-hour shift because I got home early.
Yeah, you did, which is why we're doing this now. We'd just starting now if you didn't.
My dogs would be fed just now, and they're pissed off because they can't eat now when they already ate an hour ago.
They have to chill.
Anyway, the thing about Naito is like, yeah, he could just be completely making up the eye surgery, or he could just be a fucking madman and be like, yeah, I don't care if you can only really do it successfully three times. Do it a fourth time. Let's go. You know,
is it one eye or both eyes?
So one eye, I think.
One eye. So what's the worst that happens? You end up with a blind eye. You get to wear an eye patch. Like, it's no downside.
I hope not. No,
you get an eye like in Last Action Hero. He could have a selection of glass eyes.
Oh.
The
yes.
LIJ logo on it'd be badass. It'd actually be the preference.
Sick.
So yeah,
that'd be fucking sick. Let's talk about Last Action Hero because I love that movie.
That's a sweet spot exclusive for another day. I haven't watched it long enough, but I did used to love it. That guy that fucking had the axe and he put it together, it was sick. Anyway, he was
what was
great
his name? Like the Ripper.
Yeah, he was sick. Yeah. And the trench coat. Anyway. So I do feel like after watching the tag league final, what'd you think of that, by the way? How'd you like Sonata and Gabe together?
Sonata and Gabe, yeah, they worked. I think they worked a lot better than we thought they did or thought they were going to. I mean, if that was the Smart Bastards, it would have been not Smart Bastards, sorry, the Mad Bastards. It would have been, I think it would have hit harder. Mm-hmm. Throwing Sonata in as a last minute replacement kind of pooed all over something that was building organically, and that sucks. But like, you know, shit happens when you party naked. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes you hurt his leg.
Yeah.
Is it,
That is.
Sorry, Jake Lee.
Yeah, that is a shame. Yeah. But I think it was a good match by the time it was all said and done.
It was a good
and
match.
And then I enjoyed the emotion in the ring as well, like the end.
Hiromu's been fucking wild since they won. Have you seen like some of the stuff he's been doing it like in Corkin the other day?
No, what's he been
up to? Just came out like a fucking house of fire. I'll see if I can pinpoint which match it was I was watching, but Hiromu's gone fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like I think he's amped for this match.
Yeah, cool.
And so that's gonna really, it's gonna be really good. I feel bad for the Tsuji and Finley match for having to follow what it has to follow.
Yeah.
But I think that this Hiromu and Naito match is gonna get the crowd back in on their side in a big way.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a big moment for the crowd in the Tokyo Dome.
Absolutely. And I mean, we're seeing more and more talk like, why was Hiromu even in the tag leg? He's a fucking junior. And then he's like winning the, you know, the last fucking pinfall, basically. And then he's having this heavyweight match and stuff like that. Is the writing on the wall here? Is he heading to heavyweight?
Or they're going to try and establish a more open weight area for people to play in. You know, we can have Hiromu and possibly Despy and, you know, Kevin Knight or
Drilla
Maloney. Like, these guys could all kind of show would be another one. Like, they can all kind of dance in that area.
With Takeshita as the champ, like, he's the open weight champ kind of thing. There's things that could be done there.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
I'm into that. Let's go.
Yeah. So either way, I think this is going to be, the crowd is going to be fucking come unglued for this, just in like out of love for both guys. So I think that's really exciting.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely. All right. Now, IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match, the champion Zack Sabre Jr. defending against the challenger Shooter Shota Umino. Now, so this is the pickle, right? Like, this is the one where it's like, we have a very solid card here. And even where I was like, oh, I got a little less hype for Finlay and Tsuji, it's still going to be good. And I feel like it's going to be a real bruiser kind of match. You know, you're going to go from the love-in that is Doking Desperado into a fucking slobber knocker with those guys. Then another love-in with Naito and Takahashi. And then we've got this. Now, what is this? You know what I mean? Like, I think I just don't think we even know until it's happened.
I think this is going to be a story match.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's going to be a technical masterpiece or anything like that. I think it's going to be, hey, Frankie, calm down. Frankie's excited. He wants you to know. This might be where we see Shooter become a bad guy. This might be where we see Shooter like take it to the next level and finally turn heel. I mean, you've only got the one bullet in the gun where he can only shoot the one bullet of attacking Red Shoes that one time. He might as well do it on the biggest stage of them all and really turn heel.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. I really don't know which way it's going to go, whether it's just like a really good outing and a shake of a hand, if it's a heel turn, if it's, you know, an attack by outside forces that lead to the allied
at the end. I'm praying for heel turn.
I just hope that by the end of the high-pitched wider Frankie then.
He's so crazy. He wants to go to bed.
That attitude, that noise he just made is me pleading to New Japan to be like, just by the end of this, I just want to feel like I know what Shooter is and where he's going. You know what I mean? I want there to feel like this direction. Because
it's just wandering right now.
Yeah, yeah. And we went to did it. I keep on referencing them because I think the world of their podcast and they just bring up some really good points. But they had kind of talked about the weird booking that is Shooter. And it's like, he's like the wittiest loser in New Japan. like he wins all these things and gets all these opportunities, but always just falls down at like the last. Like he keeps getting put in positions to almost look stupid over and over again. And there has to be a reason for that, right? Like, and so it's like, what is the end game here?
I think the thing about Shooter is like he's not anything.
Yeah.
Is he the most handsome? No. Of the new guys, is he the most handsome? No, that's probably Grip, right?
Yeah. When he had the hair, I don't know. Yu-Yu's pretty good looking too. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. Is he the most technically efficient? No. That's Yu-Yu. Mm-hmm. Is he the biggest bruiser?
No.
Is he the biggest Suji. Badass? No, that's mm-hmm. probably Suji, right? Yeah. Like, does he have the most personality? No, that's probably Ren or like maybe Yu-Yu or Suji. Like, mm-hmm. All the things that make you a successful professional wrestler. Looks, connection with the crowd, technical ability, badass attitude, like all those things, he is found wanting at every turn amongst his peers.
Mm.
He is just the most mid-ass fucking excuse for a wrestler right now.
Mm.
What the hell, man?
And when he came back, he didn't feel like that. Like he didn't feel like that at first, you know, and through booking and through gimmick and things like that, they've found a way to make him really feel like that. And I feel like they're going out of their way to not hide his weaknesses. So, yeah, I'm very, very interested to see where it goes.
I'm hoping right now that I, myself and you and every other Shooter doubter is being worked. Right now,
that's the way I feel like it's maybe going. And you know what?
I would love to look back on this and like just be in the shower one day and like sitting under the water thinking about it and just being like, damn, that was really, they fucking worked me for like 2 years.
Yeah, that's what I want it to be. And you know what he has though that all of those other guys don't have? He's got a famous dad.
Yeah.
But what comes with that is not just the connections and things like that. It's the chip he has on his shoulder and what that sort of means in people's perception of him and then how they can leverage that into story, which they're kind of not really doing at the moment, but the moment they decide to, there's the opportunity to light up an angle with him that could catch fire in a way that none of the others have. Like they're all essentially sort of starting from scratch, right? They haven't really been handed any story stuff or anything like that. They just kind of dropped into their guys on the roster and they've all got a lot of potential. Even though he maybe doesn't excel in all the areas, like the various areas that the other ones do, he has that. And due to his connection with Moxley grabbing him, you know, around the neck in a promo and due to Chris Jericho like putting him in a fucking Boston Crab and telling Red Shoes to look at his son at the Tokyo Dome, he was thrust into the spotlight and became the most recognizable of them. So then he's sitting at a level above them, ahead in story. And so how do you then leverage that into a superstar? Because all of that stuff is probably more valuable than the other things, you know? So people are invested. So how do you invest them more? And then why do you then take this person who has all the reasons to have all these cool avenues, but hold him and make him lose and make these strange things happen. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's got to be leading to something. We might just be staring at tea leaves. Maybe it's just shit. Maybe the office hates him. But then if that's the case, they don't put him in the main event of fucking Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I mean? I keep thinking, oh, no, this is Cope, dude. He just sucks. And then I'm like, no. He's in the fucking main event of Wrestle Kingdom.
They don't just put him there. They don't just go, oh, we want Zach to have like an easy win. Easy night for the champ onto the next night. They don't do that. It's the biggest main event of the year and they've chosen him. So there's something.
Yeah, it's not just
fucking brewing.
There's fucking something there.
There's something brewing.
It's gotta be.
And so whether it happens on that night or whether it's then the like, you know, spark that lights the fucking fire that of what he's going to become, there's got to be something there. And if we're looking back on this next year and we're like, they just didn't do anything with that dude, like then that's one of the weirdest booking decisions of all time.
when does it become booking malpractice? Like we throw that term around sometimes, but it's like, when does it become promotional malpractice to like continue pouring resources into this guy?
I don't know. I mean, look at Sonata's run. I don't know what to tell you.
I'd rather not look at Sonata's run ever again.
You know what? They really tried with him, but he was who he was. And they did, you know, I can see what people say. You know, he did get to different places and he did change and evolve and he is where he is now. But he's just always that same dude, bro. And I don't know if he'll ever not be. I guess he's cooler now. I like him with blonde hair. Like, like... Aviators are cool, I guess.
Like, when you put him next to Gabe Kidd, like he gets cooler by proxy.
Yeah, exactly. That's all that's really helping him. But either way, so what do you think? Gun to the earth. Like, who do you think's who's winning this match, right? And are you sweet on it, or are you sour, or are you just like in between? Are you savory? Are you unsure?
How am I savory about
the main event of
Zack Sabre Jr. main eventing the Wrestle Kingdom? Like, how am I just kind of like, oh, that's nice.
See, and that's it. We haven't even talked about him, but he's the only reason why I'm not like, this is a dumpster fire of a main event, because I just have absolute faith in him. I just know it'll be a banger. Like, he'll just make it work.
Yeah, like, he could fucking sleepwalk this match and get fucking 4.5 stars.
Absolutely. And one thing about Shota is he can rise to the level of his opponents. We've seen him be in good things. You know what I mean? So I know that Zach will ensure this is good. What that means for the shooter character.
I'm gonna push back on you there, because we've seen him rise to the level of his opponents. Like, when you say that, like, you're talking about the Will Ospreay match.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but Will Ospreay could wrestle a fucking broom and bring it to 5 stars. Mm-hmm. So
what other ones have we seen? The Naito match was bad. He was really good in that multi-man with Chris Jericho and all those guys on AEW. Who else has he been with? Fuck, maybe he hasn't had that many good matches. I feel like there was something else recently where we were like, that was pretty good.
I don't feel it, man. Shooter ain't him.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully I look back on this in a couple of years and I'm just like, that was the fucking best story they've ever told, where they made this guy who's a pile of charisma as a young lion, you know, the guy who we all look and go, that's the future. And they made him look like a total fucking dork. Mm. They made him come out with a fucking touring motorcycle and everybody's like, oh, look at this, it's really cool.
It's like,
and
it looks like
Jay Leno.
The least cool motorcycle that could have ever been located. Like,
that is like the motorcycle that a nun would have. Like, it's just so dumb and so bad. I try to think of a better way to say it, and I just fucking can't. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing. The death knell for professional wrestling is looking like a fucking dumbass or looking like you're not cool. Bad guys in wrestling are cool. Good guys in wrestling are cool. When you look like fucking Rocky Maivia, not The Rock, Rocky Maivia coming out looking like white meat baby face, you can do it, and everybody goes, you're a fucking dork, fuck off.
Yeah,
that's where Shooter's at right now.
That's where he's at. Like, every gimmick choice has been the least cool choice ever, and he was handed a cool gimmick. Like, he could have been just like Death Rider fucking Shooter, but instead they were like, a Roughneck, bright pink, what the fuck is Roughneck? Does nothing Roughneck at all. In fact, does everything quite feathery, light up,
imagine,
stuff.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Poor man's Brett the Hitman Hart, fucking giving kids glow sticks, like Mr. Tumnus pants, cut off my cool hair. Like, every choice has been the mid choice.
Bad, dude. And he just looks like lost. Like, when he comes out, he's like, yeah, hey, everybody, I'm doing this because I was told to. Hey, all right. Finger guns with everybody. I'm so tired. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That was highly fucking.
I know where you're going. It's fine. But yeah, everything you say is correct. So I wonder, like, is his Wrestle Kingdom entrance his current entrance? Like, or is he something else? Like, I don't think there's been any work put into it to make me feel like he would randomly change into something else at the start of Wrestle Kingdom. You know what I mean? There's been no story beat to be like, I'm coming out, I'm a badder boy, or I'm like cooler or anything. So like,
no, I don't think he will.
Is like, he coming out on a golf cart and a fucking, like, you know, like, what's he doing?
He's gonna come out on a skateboard, but it's gonna be a little like banana board. You know, like it's, or yeah. he's gonna
rollerblades to the ring.
Rollerblades to the ring, or like a penny farthing fucking bike. You know, those ones with a really big wheel.
That would actually be sick. I never told you about our band Farthing Wheel. at any point, it's a grind band where all the members were farthing wheels that became animated by the power of metal and would sing metal and play guitar really fast.
What kind of psychedelics had you been ingesting when that came?
It was a little bit of weed at the time, but we were just thought it was really funny. We once went on a radio show and did like an interview here in Perth where we got interviewed as Farthing Wheel and we were doing like the Russian accents and shit. We were thoughts from steel. And like the host really didn't understand that we actually were Farthing Wheels. It's like, no, we're like, oh, how did you come up with the song or whatever? Well, it was hard to play with my wheel, but I was able to find a way to strap the pick to my axle and say, like, you know, like the dumbest shit.
That is, I would have been listening to that.
And it's
I
very hard to find online.
I would have run to find a fucking tape to record that. So
everybody used to have
it.
We used to have demos and stuff, but then our mate lost his fucking hard drive and shit, and we lost a lot of it. Also, one of the members may or may not now be in government. So if it ever came out, his career's over. So
if it ever came out that he was actually a farthing wheel.
How do you explain that? How do you explain that to your voters? Like, yeah, at one point life, I voiced a anthropomorphic farthing wheel character.
Keep kayfabe. Keep kayfabe. He comes out. He says, "I'm sorry to my constituency. I am not a human being.
I've actually been a farthing wheel this entire time, masquerading as a man." Love it.
Overall, sweet or sour on this here Wrestle Kingdom 19.
Overall sweet. Very sweet as a sheet, as they say. I think we're gonna have a very good time, and I will be watching it live.
I'm ready to be surprised by what comes out of the main event. They've got to have a plan. They can't just have a regular match here.
It's almost like I can't wait to see where this car wreck goes. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, what is this gonna be? How do they make this work? And I'm like, shook
this
to see it. Like, K-O-P-W, are they using
this isn't just some random fucking big show.
And it's like, is it all the smoke and mirrors in the world, or is it just like the two guys get in there and just have such a fucking good match where, like, you know what, it doesn't matter? Like,
I don't know if it's just that, I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. Or if there's some sort of crazy story that comes out of this that sets up for the next year, I'm okay with it. But it's got to be something. Mm-hmm. They can't just go out there and have a regular match. Like, the match at Royal Quest 4 was Sonata and Zack Sabre Jr. And it was a good match. It was probably my, you know, the best Sonata match I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But it's... That's not going to be enough.
Actually, my favorite Sonata match was Tsuji. A, because I really thought Tsuji was going to win, and B, they just ran the Tsuji hits, and it was a banger. You hadn't really seen what he could do, and he just came out, and it just felt like, this motherfucker's going to do it, and I wanted him to win so badly.
that was a really good match.
Yeah. I'm with you. We're going to see, and they've got me watching, so I can't wait. And I think we've done the right thing here. We haven't even talked about the next night, because you know what? That's not in New Japan canon. That's something that's going to happen, and that's going to be a spotlight show. And we will do a Dynasty preview, but it's irrelevant to our conversation of this show, and we're trying not to think about it and let our thoughts on that booking affect what we think about our predictions for this show.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. Because we had that conversation and we were like, we can't. We just, yeah.
We don't want the spoilers to leak over.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's it. We will talk about Dynasty in our positive vibes only edition, where we're not going to let anybody, Curtis, spiral out and start cursing out Tony Khan and things like that. We're not doing that. We're just going to look at it like, hey, we're in Tokyo and these are some matches that are going to happen, and what do we think about how fun these matches will be? That's how we're going
to do positive vibes only. So mm-hmm. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Absolutely. Now, until that comes out, tell the people where to find everything ISC.
Well, you can find
us. You could also tell people who we were as well, because we still haven't fucking
Jesus, we did it again, didn't we? God damn it. Well, I'm your good friend Curtis Pierce. That's your bad friend Rafe Houston. You can find us as a show on all the various social medias at Itchy Bond Suite. You can find my social medias at LDestructo83. You can find Rafe's social medias at Faces Feels Cast, which is also the name of his other show where he interviews different independent wrestlers from around the world and gets to know a different side of them. Just stuff that you're not going to see on the television screen or normally here in a regular interview. He gets to know a different side of those people, and you can become a bigger fan of them that way.
Yeah.
You can find my other show, the Throw and Dice podcast, where I talk about tabletop role playing, tabletop wargaming, and all the hobby that goes along with those at Throw and Dice Pod on Instagram, and listen to the Throw and Dice podcast wherever you find a beautiful podcast like this one, you know, whatever your podcatcher of choice is. Yeah. One last thing. If you would like to support the show, you can go to the Count Out Podcasting Network Patreon, patreon.com/countoutpod, where just for $3 or $5 American dollary dues a month, you can support not just our show, but every show on the Count Out Podcasting Network, and every single penny that you put forth for that goes to help a lot of cool podcasters do a lot of cool podcasting things. You'll also get access to a bunch of different shows from all the different shows that are on the Count Out Podcast Network, like our extra show, The Sweet Spot, where Rafe and I mostly talk about bullshit. You know, we just bro down for like 30 minutes or so every month. Absolutely. And allow you guys to come in and get to know us a little bit better. It's pretty cool. And not everybody has the money it takes to give us money.
But
if you don't, and we know the times are hard, you know, but you know what? Doesn't cost anything to give us a 5-star review or to share this beautiful podcast with your friends, to put it out on your social medias. That's tell a friend about it. That's how we gain listeners.
That's how we do it.
And we won't. Yeah.
That would be lovely.
So if you could do that for us, we'd really appreciate it. And we love you. And thank you very much for listening to our Wrestle Kingdom preview.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Curtis. There you go, everybody. You know where to find us. You know what to do. Enjoy Wrestle Kingdom. And we will be back before Wrestle Kingdom with our Dynasty preview. So keep an eye out on that. And in the meantime, you know what it is. It's rate and subscribe. It's listen or die. It's Spirit of Fight. Stylus Strong. Sweet Cast.
Itchy Bond.
The Grip.
It's almost a perfect. Homie, that is it. I gots to go.
This has been a Count Out Podcast. Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Countout Network.